Prologue. Guinevere Peters. What the hell kind of name is Guinevere? Tucker Gates absorbed the glare that accompanied Deaver's outraged words without flinching. He'd been absorbing those glares nearly full-time for 15 years now. They hardly nicked him these days. And this one wasn't even truly directed at him. He was just handy. The kind of name that belongs to someone about as likely to take an interest in the Double Bar X and Park County, Wyoming, as you are to start collecting Fabergé eggs, Tucker said calmly. Eggs? What did I want to collect eggs for? Manny gets them at the store these days. My point exactly. Eggs. Why are you yammering about eggs when we got something serious to discuss? Don't even keep chickens around the place anymore. Eggs for crying out loud. Tucker took a deep swallow of the thick brew that spurted caffeine directly into his tired bloodstream. What is there to discuss? He asked. You askin' what? This Guinevere, that's what. I don't see that it makes any difference if it's Guinevere Peters or H.N. de Solare who officially owns the Double Bar X. We'll have as much contact with Guinevere as we had with H.N. a few years back. Probably less. Deaver had recovered sufficiently to give a bit of his cackling laugh. That's right. I'd about forgot his secretary calling that time to find out if we were close enough to Aspen for the big boss to stop by between runs down the ski slopes. He cackled again. Yeah, you gave that Frenchie a geography lesson, and we didn't hear any more from him. Only the occasional official correspondence. And that's all we'll hear from this Guinevere Peters. But I thought the French guy sold the Double Bar to the Farrington Bunch. He did. And we heard even less from Farrington Corporation when de Solare sold them the Double Bar. Now we've been officially informed, he held up the letter he'd been reading to Deaver, that Farrington Corporation has sold it to Guinevere Peters. Actually, judging by the letter's date, they'd been informed more than a month ago, but experience had taught Tucker that letters from corporations were easily left on hold when things got busy around the Double Bar. And with cows dropping calves in bursts now, busy didn't start to describe it. Seemed to him, there were a couple more Farrington envelopes in the stack on his desk. He'd get to them, eventually. If that didn't suit them, they'd call. We're being passed around like a hot potato, grumbled Deaver. Tucker shrugged. Doesn't make any difference to us who owns the Double Bar. Doesn't change when calving season comes, or which fences need tending, or how much rain we get. He looked out the window into April's chill dark, almost believing he could see the familiar acres reaching toward the peaked skyline. Or the nearby buildings where he and Deaver would likely spend the night helping a couple more cows bring calves into the world. Why'd the creatures always seem to choose to be born in the middle of the night? In reality, the window reflected back a room almost as familiar as the scene beyond it, and considerably warmer. He saw bookshelves, filing cabinets, and an oversized desk from which he'd run the Double Bar X for more than a decade under three, no, this latest one made it four, absentee owners. As far as he was concerned, having learned the lesson early and hard, those were the only kind of people to work for. The kind who stayed the hell away and out of his life while he ran their business. Time to relieve Manny and Carl. Let's go. But geez, Tucker, being owned by a woman. Tucker fought down a grin. Except that his voice hit the lower registers, old Deave sounded just like a kid horrified by the notion of playing with girls. It won't make any difference, Deaver. You'll see.